the Green Zone here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles, Wes Reynolds alongside. Happy to be with you here on a Saturday afternoon here in Las Vegas at Circa. As always, the show brought to you by BetMGM. Wes, let's get a little update from you on how your guy Bo Hoag is doing at the 3M Open. Again, Wes, you had Mr. Hoag at over 100-1 to win the tournament this week.
Yeah, 110-1. He is now plus 320 at BetMGM. He's the current leader by one. Cameron Tringali now at 9-2. He is 11 under par, 4 under on his round today, so he is an outright second. And then a cavalcade of players tied for third. Pat Perez, Jimmy Walker, Gary Woodland, Maverick McNealy, all at 3 under par. Woodland at plus 750 along with McNealy. Cameron Champ currently at 16-1, and then going down a little bit to the guys at 9 under par. BVP does post a number, a nice little 66, so he is 9 under par. He is tied at 7 under with seemingly like about 20 players right now, including Ricky Fowler. Cameron Champ actually now back at 9 under. Johnny Vegas, who's another guy I have at 9 under. Roger Sloan, Ryan Armour were the final broke. Roger Sloan absolutely slipped here. He was about a two-shot leader earlier in this round. He is now just even at 9 under par. Jonathan Bird, Charles Schwartzel, a lot of guys in the mix here. But right now, Bo Hoag tops the board at 12 under par.
Yeah, and again, Tringali was only the third player of the day to reach the 12th and two, made the putt for eagle, and that's why Tringali only a shot behind Hoag right now.
It's hard to believe he has never won a PGA Tour event.
He's always been competitive.
Like, yes.
Top fives in multiple tournaments. I'm with you. Kind of surprising he's never been able to hoist the trophy.
The only one, and I can't remember who his partner is right off the top of my head. He won that old, what they used to call the Shark Shootout that they have in Naples, that little unofficial team event that they play in September at Tiburon Golf Club. And that's the only thing he ever won. And I looked at Tringali because he kind of stood out on the stats this week, but I was like, he's in like the low 30-1 range, and I just can't. He's just a guy that never seems to get home when you've got an outright on him, so I had to take a pass on him, but he's currently just one shot back of Bo Hoag.
And as you said, a big collection at 10, an even bigger collection at 9 yes. under par right now. And again, score fest as always at the 3M Open. A few minutes away from starting in Boston, we'll go there, the Yankees and the Red Sox. Numbers starting to dip a little bit on the Sox. Still mostly minus 170 out there. BetMGM at minus 180. So minus 160 out there as well on the Sox. Again, Boston has taken the first two in this series from the Yankees. Come from behind fashion on Thursday. They also come from behind fashion yesterday, even though the comeback was a lot earlier than it was on Thursday night.
Triple for Chris Bryant here with two outs in the bottom of the fifth. All tied at two. So Javi Baez going to try to see if he can bring Chris Bryant in, who missed the last couple games, now back in the lineup. So Chris Bryant with the three-bagger here. Two outs, all tied at two in Wrigley.
So that's Cubs Diamondbacks bottom five. That is now a bigger sweat than it already was. You needed a comeback from the Diamondbacks in the top half of the inning to at least get your push on the first five money line on Arizona. Now you got to get Baez out. Again, Merrill Kelly, who's been really the only consistent pitcher for Arizona, is Baez with a pop-up to first base, and that is put away, and we are through five, and this game is tied at two, so all first five money lines have pushed, and if you bet the Diamondbacks plus the half run in the first five, you came home, Wes.
Under got the money, too, both in the first five and the full game, so first five under is good to go. Now going to the top of the six at Wrigley, all tied at two.
Going back to the Red Sox and the Yankees here, Wes, we discussed it a little bit before, that the Yankees need to win at least one of these two games for their season not to be probably completely toast, at least from an AL East perspective. But we have about 30 seconds here before we welcome in our guest. But Nelson Cruz traded to the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yes.
I took a little bit of Tampa immediately after that trade was announced at plus 160. Only a game behind Boston. I thought that price was way too steep on Tampa.
And maybe good on you, because I got to think that they have to get an arm, that they got to get somebody in that starting rotation, whether Berríos is out there or Herman or somebody like that. But Tampa Bay definitely needs another arm.
Well, they flipped around and traded Rich Hill to the Mets the other day. But again, they're kind of like the Patriots. When they think they're done with someone, they usually are actually done. It is the Green Zone here on VSiN. He's Wes Reynolds. I'm Jeff Parles. We're going to go We're going to go a little bit south of here, Wes. Just hop on I-15, get off at Russell, do the little flip around into the garage over there at Mandalay Bay, the senior race and sportsbook manager over at Mandalay Bay, Mike Piranio with us right now. Mike, thanks for being with us today. And I want to just start off with the news that broke last night that some sportsbooks pulled Green Bay Packer future divisional odds and win totals off the board. How are you guys handling that over at BetMGM with the news that Rodgers may be stepping away from the game this upcoming week?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how that's all playing out, and it's kind of something we were going to talk about too, because all of a sudden, the interesting part is how it's affected us. We don't really care about the Green Bay money and all that, you know, the futures on that are in, so if he doesn't play, those bets look good to us, but... we have a huge, huge nonstop betting on the Buccaneers the minute he made that announcement, including, you know, five-figure bets, middle five figures. So him retiring evidently means that Buccaneers are a lock to win the Super Bowl, because that is where we're getting access. We're a seven-figure loser on the Bucs for the Super Bowl right now. But I'm pretty confident in the BetMGM traders. We had that kind of liability with the Atlanta Hawks, and they got through the NBA. So that's a long ways away. A lot can happen. But that's pretty big liability for us this far out from the Super Bowl to have a seven-figure loss. And, you know, they weren't that big of odds to start with. They won last year. So it's probably a good money for us to take. It's tough to repeat 2 years in a row. So I think we're pretty good on that. But we are seeing a ton of action. Evidently, the only team that can beat Tampa Bay is Green Bay.
Right, and I was
with Rodgers.
Right, and I was just looking at this, Mike, because I was trying to see, okay, have we gotten any kind of a drift on some of these teams in the NFC that are, I think, are viable Super Bowl contenders, and one of them being the Los Angeles Rams. We saw some people earlier this week, I think it was 12-1, pretty much market consensus, and it moved up to as high as 14 is what I saw, and that's where you guys have the Rams right now. Because Cam Akers ruled out for the season, I thought that's kind of a little bit of a drift on a running back here. Matt Stafford used to not having running back support in Detroit, only 1,000-yard rusher in his entire decade plus up there in Detroit. So was just looking a little bit on the board here. And, you know, the Bucs, you guys currently have them at 7-1. 49ers, though, at 12-1. So have you gotten some support for San Francisco? I know people think it's going to be a bounce-back year, but... didn't expect necessarily they'd be ahead of the Rams on the odds board.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of strange. I know he didn't have anything at Detroit, but I've never been a big fan of Stafford, and I'm not sure they got a better quarterback than the one they gave up. I mean, he had a bad year, but he also was in the Super Bowl. So I guess those guys know what they're doing. They get paid a lot of money to be scouts and coaches, so maybe there's some kind of problem with Goff, but it seems to me like if I had to choose one of those, I would take the younger one and flip a coin maybe. But it seems like everyone thinks that's a huge improvement. We'll see if it is. To me, it doesn't seem like a huge improvement. But if he does take off in L.A., that's going to really show you how bad the Detroit team was. And let's see what they do this year if they're that bad.
Mike Piranio with us right now here on the Green Zone on VSiN. Wes Reynolds alongside me, Jeff Parles. Mike, looking at the AFC side of things, of course, Kansas City's the favorite to win the Super Bowl, favorite to win the AFC. Is there any other team that has stacked up a little bit of liability for you guys on the AFC side?
Well, it's kind of interesting. We have and it's partly because we're in Nevada here. I don't know overall around the country if we were looking at our overall liability, but in Nevada we are always getting, well, former San Diego Chargers, now L.A. Charger money, and they seem to we're getting some money on that and pretty decent money once in a while. The problem with that is that it's the same division as Kansas City, but maybe that's not a problem. If you're going to, you know, win and get to the Super Bowl, you're probably going to have to beat them somewhere. So why not during the season and eliminate them from the playoffs? But that seems like a tall task, but the odds are obviously better. It's a lot of the Super Bowl betting is on how much return you can get for it. Although at 7-1, people are still hammering the Bucks. It's amazing.
Mike, I'll flip over to NBA really quickly. We now have an NBA champion here in 2021. It is the Milwaukee Bucks, first time in 50 years. And Milwaukee Bucks currently 8-1 at BetMGM, so basically the second choice in the Eastern Conference. And I always kind of marvel when you get the general media that are covering sports betting now, like they've already got prices out for next year, like immediately after the game ends, knowing that, you know, this has already been set up to be released after the game. But currently right now, Nets favorite here at 2.25, Lakers 9-2, Bucks 8-1, Warriors and Jazz respectively at 12, Phoenix, by the way, at 14-1, the runner-up in the Western Conference champs. But have you already seen some action on the futures for next year, or do you got some folks basically waiting a little bit? We're going to have the draft next week, and then we're going to have free agency. Not a lot of really big tickets, though, in terms of the free agent market this year in the NBA. So have you already had some people take a poke at this futures market?
Yeah, it's not very much. I mean, you're right. We try to have something out, and unless we know you or we need it, we're not going to take huge money this early. But they're going to kind of. It's just too early for that. And you know, it's still. I mean, sports betting's taking off, and lots of other sports are picking up. But the minute we get 2 or 3, 4 weeks, even out of preseason, it's all NFL all the time, and it's kind of an afterthought if they bet anything NBA future-wise. So, and now with the Olympics going, it's amazing. We actually had some sharps hit us on this USA-France Olympics, so if you want to talk basketball, I can tell you that line went from 17 all the way down to 11.5, then we got some take back, and it's back up, I think, to around 12.5. I haven't gotten an update in a couple hours, but after their loss, everyone kind of got off the USA bandwagon, which is probably not a good idea. It just seems hard to believe that that line moved that much. But, you know, the USA does have the best players, but they don't have the chemistry and they don't play together. So that's important. And a lot of these national teams, they have people that played together for some of them 10, 20 years. Some of the guys are older.
Mike, let's just stay right there with the Olympics. You said obviously the team France took a whole bunch of money, and now the market going back the other way on that matchup, which will be a 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern start tomorrow between Team USA and Team France in men's basketball. But now with the Olympics underway in full, how has the action been just across the board? I know the smaller events won't be hit too hard, but has there been anything that has been hit at your book from people betting it so far?
No, there's the Olympics. So far, anyway, no big betting, and the handle's low. There's small bets on it, except for that USA France, and that was, you know, that to move that much. I can tell you that was sharps that hit us on that, and maybe some of them took back, and that's why I went back to 12.5, playing the middle. But we were shocked and surprised kind of about that, especially when it's on France, and you know. I think the USA lost to Nigeria, was it? I think that's, you know, overblown reaction to that, and those guys may even have a chip on their shoulder. But you know, when the sharps hit us, it tells us, you know, I would definitely stay off that game and see what happens, because that's interesting to move that much. Although we, you know, it's not like it's NBA. We're going to move it with lesser money on the Olympics, obviously.
Mike, I'm looking at the current Olympic betting menu here at BetMGM, and we just talked about the basketball. I know you've got soccer up, you've got tennis up, and a couple of the other team sports, volleyball, baseball, even table tennis I'm seeing up, available to bet at BetMGM. What else do you guys plan on putting up? I know there's some limitations in terms of what sports you can put up, in terms of like right here in Nevada, in terms of anything that has judging, so probably not expecting to see gymnastics being put up, but what do you think you guys are going to put up here later in the week on the menu?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too, and I'll be interested because I believe I saw boxing was starting.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
So technically that's judged, but it's always judged in here. So that usually is something people are interested in, maybe not from a betting standpoint, but probably from a betting standpoint because they're just used to doing it. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you got to be careful about, and some of the sports have people participating that maybe as young as like 15, 16. So you got to kind of watch that too. But, you know, we do take college sports, and there's guys that are definitely under 18 playing college sports, but at least most of them are 18 and above. But so that's kind of interesting on there. And every state's going to have different house rules. So, you know, if I know you guys have listeners nationwide, you definitely want to make sure of your house rules and the state you're betting in. And you can see the menu across the country is different depending on what state. Some states don't let you do props on players, and it's just an interesting way it's developed with this coming on legally at state after state, different times, different commissions, different gaming. So it's kind of interesting. I think eventually, just because it looks weird and it should be, they'll have to have some kind of national gaming rules so that we know what we want to take and don't take.
Mike Piranio with us right now here on the Green Zone, the senior race and sportsbook manager over at Mandalay Bay. Mike, I just want to ask you about baseball real quick. Of course, we're about a week away from the trade deadline, and the San Francisco Giants are still in first place in the NL West. Obviously, we know in Vegas, a lot more clientele from Southern California coming in than Northern California, but have you started seeing people, even more casual bettors, starting to say, oh, well, we're going to bet on the Giants now because they're still in first place, and we're almost in August?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of with the pitching failing in San Diego and the pitching in at L.A., the Dodgers, because of other reasons hurting, and the closer not doing too well lately, the Giants look awfully good right now. So we are seeing some action back on them, and but it's still early. I mean, it's getting later in the season, but it's still enough time for people to make moves. But the way the Giants are playing, they look awfully tough. But it's kind of, you know, this week we call it the sleepy week. We had some good UFC last week and some good sports last week, and then this week comes along and it's kind of everyone's kind of gearing up to get here in August for football, even if it's preseason. You can see people coming in and getting ready for room reservations. So other than some big horse racing over the summer, football's going to be it, and that's kind of what the situation we're in right now, which, by the way, how'd you like that horse pick? Can you guys bring
yes.
up anything else for me?
Yes, you have given us a lot of winners. We, of course, did have the race there, the Haskell at Monmouth, and you got the winner there. Fortunately, Paco Lopez, who took a tumble late in that race, was no worse for wear, and looks like he is going to be okay. But we do have big cards though on the weekends. Not as quite as big as the Haskell in terms of winning you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic, but Del Mar, rather, getting going. San Clemente Day out at the Del Mar. Mike, have you handicapped this race?
No, I didn't. But you know what? I am going out to the Pacific Classic, and I think it's around August 21st. So maybe we can do a show with me live calling in from there, because it's fun to be out at Del Mar. I go out there multiple times a year. And you know what? The thing that impressed me in the Haskell, that's the second race in a row this Hot Rod Charlie was in a speed duel. And we talked about the horse going out in a speed duel, and that's exactly what happened. But Hot Rod Charlie won't give up. That horse has a lot of heart. He's gonna win, and if they can run him, you know, a couple more times, you know, he might get some good prices. But that horse just doesn't give up no matter how fast he goes. He's still there at the end, and you don't see that in horse racing a lot, and especially in big, you know, stakes races like the Belmont and the Haskell, to go out in the speed with good horses and not give up. For those that don't know horse handicapping, that's something special. That horse is special.
Mike, a couple events going on later tonight. You did mention UFC, obviously not as big of a card as what we saw at T-Mobile a few weeks ago of Poirier and McGregor, but an interesting main event because you've got TJ Dillashaw returning from a 2-year suspension for testing positive for EPO. He is fighting Corey Sandhagen in the main event over at the UFC Apex right here in town. Are you just seeing bets against Dillashaw from this standpoint? Because if I'm just looking at the screen and just using that as my sole guidance here, it looks like this is one-way traffic betting against Dillashaw off a 2-year layoff.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I'm not sure that's as detrimental to a UFC fighter. I mean, some of these guys fight way too often.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a 2-year, you know, boxers take a long time off. Sometimes you see a champion take a year to get back in the ring. But The UFC, they tend to get those fighters out there. He may have a chip on his shoulder. You know, he was decent before he was suspended. That's a significant suspension. But the fact that he's back and on a main event card with the UFC after 2 years, they must think he has the talent and he's still a good fighter. He wouldn't be there. You know, I wouldn't be scared to play him, actually, just because he's had 2 years off, may have a chip, and there's a reason he's fighting tonight.
He's Mike Piranio of Mandalay Bay, the senior race and sports book manager for the BetMGM Sportsbook at Mandalay Bay. Mike, thanks for being with us today.
I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. I forgot to tell you at the beginning. I appreciate that.
You bet, pal, anytime.
Absolutely. Wes, always good information there. And a quick score update, Wes, at Fenway Park before we hit a break. How about a Little League home run to begin things for the Boston Red Sox? Kike Hernandez hit one off the top of the Green Monster, had an easy triple. Ugnan Odor throws the ball into the stands, so a Little League home run for Boston, 1-0 Red Sox after one.
Yeah, this isn't your mommy and daddy's Yankees here, 50-46, and they need to get going in a hurry.
When we get back, keep you updated. I'll give you an update on the golf and also the other baseball game going on right now, the Cubs and the Diamondbacks. Next, here on the Green Zone on VSiN. Zone here on VSiN, brought to you by BetMGM. I'm Jeff Parles. He's Wes Reynolds. We're in the same studio today. We're both live at Circa, which is, hey, look, I like being in the same studio, Wes. That's for sure. We're expected to be back out at where our guy Mike Piranio is at Mandalay Bay next week. But for at least today and tomorrow, you and I are here together, Wes.
Yes, we are, and looking forward to it. Slower start today with a lot of the baseball back ended, but we're starting to get some big events here. We're starting to get, obviously, closer to football season. We also have the draft, NBA draft, coming up this week. We also have the Olympics now well underway, day one in the books as of this morning. Was it last night or this morning? I don't know. They're 16 hours ahead of us where we sit here in Las Vegas and 13 hours ahead of Eastern time zone. So I never know what time it is anymore.
Two baseball games going right now on the north side of Chicago. The Cubs and the Diamondbacks have played to a draw so far, 2-2 in the top of the seventh. Andrew Chafin in facing Nick Ahmed with a runner on first. Cubs live, still a big favorite, minus 150 with the Diamondbacks coming back at plus 120. Again, they've gotten a good outing from Merrill Kelly, their only consistent pitcher so far this year.
Yeah, they have. So Chafin going to try to get out of the jam here, all tied at two here in the top of the seventh. Looks like it is well under the total. It did take money from 11.5 to 10.5, so far so good. And then we'll flip over to Fenway Park for the other game that just started here at the top of the hour. Mention how Nady Eovaldi has been pretty dominant against the Yankees this year. Well, so far, four strikeouts out of five outs here, and looking to get another one against Gittens. So Nady Eovaldi's had this good against the New York Yankees all season long.
Line currently locked, even though last checked it was Red Sox minus 265, as Chris Giddens will hit one to deep right, and as long as the ball is seen, it was, and it was caught out in right field, and the side is retired. Red Sox leading 1-0 through an inning and a half. Wes, your guy, Bo Hoeg, still leading in the Twin Cities.
He did just par the par 5 12th, though. Had an opportunity. He drove it in the rough, so had a little bit of an opportunity, had to take a drop here, and actually had a about a 10-footer for birdie, and he misses it. So he is currently at 12 under par. He is the leader, as you mentioned. And then just looking down the board here, seeing where the prices are. Bo Hoeg right now, actually not the favorite, though, right now. He's 9-2. Cam Tringali, one back at 11 under par, is currently your favorite at 4-1. I believe they showed the graphic. I forgot the exact number, but it is slightly over 300 starts without a win. That is the most of anybody currently on the PGA Tour. So Tringali trying to break through. Some other prices at BetMGM: Matt McNeely 8-1, Johnny Vegas and Gary Woodland 9-1, Cam Champ 14-1, along with Adam Hadwin, Roger Sloan and Charles Schwartzel 16-1. Everybody pretty much still available to bet at BetMGM. Low man in the clubhouse, though, is Pat Perez. 10 under par, 5 under in his round today, a 66, this being a par 71 at TPC Twin Cities. So looking behind Hogan, Tringali, Perez, Champ, Jimmy Walker, Gary Woodland, Matt McNeely, Johnny Vegas, Roger Sloan, all at 10 under par.
A jumbled leaderboard, to say the very least.
Some young players there kind of looking for their breakthrough. Some veterans looking for their breakthrough, like Cam Tringali. Some guys that maybe haven't won or contended in a long time, like a Pat Perez, like a Jimmy Walker. Like a Johnny Vegas, who I did play this week at 70-1. So think that he'll stay up there. Charles Schwartzel, another guy hadn't won in a long time. He is also up there as well.
One quick baseball thing here, Wes, just coming out of the Beltway Bowl tonight in Baltimore, the Nats at the Orioles. Baltimore actually taking the first game of that series, hitting around Patrick Corbin, who has just had a nightmare of a season for the Nats. Max Scherzer, who, as of right now, seems to be the biggest potential piece to move at the trade deadline, is not going to pitch tonight. It is discomfort in his right tricep. From what Davey Martinez says, John Lester,
yes,
in place of Max Scherzer tonight.
Yeah, and it just got it's getting repriced right now. So going to lower that favoritism, obviously, on the Washington Nationals. So I'm trying to see. It was minus 220 against Matt Harvey, who did pitch pretty well in his last start. I know it's the Matt Harvey Day thing is kind of a fade on sports betting Twitter, but going to be a lot less of a price. We shall see, and we may have to wait to update that on the other side of the break here to see what that reprice is going to be with John Lester pitching in Camden Yards tonight.
Well, what would you guess? Because Scherzer is minus 220 tonight. Matt Harvey's on the other end for the Orioles, and his
I'd say
struggles
buck,
are...
buck 80, maybe. Buck 85 on Lester.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. When we get back, Wes, we're going to look at the late games in baseball in full. We're also, in a half hour from now, our guy JVT will join us. So, a lot to look forward to here in the Green Zone as we roll on a Saturday afternoon at Circa here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN football betting guides are coming soon, and there's no better way to prepare for the college and pro football season. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy today or sign up for VSiN All Access. That gets you everything we do through the entire football season. So make sure you take advantage of that as well. VSiN.com/subscribe for all of your VSiN purchasing options. Wes Reynolds to my left. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you here on a Saturday afternoon on the Green Zone. Wes, before we get into the later games in Major League Baseball, it has not gone well so far for Jameson Taillon at Fenway. The Red Sox add another.
Yeah, Kevin Plawecki, a double off the Green Monster, scores the second run of the game. And look, I wasn't sure how much to buy into Jameson Taillon in terms of his last three starts. He's been very good, but, you know, I think very disappointing. I think the Yankees expected better out of him, a 480 on the ERA, about the same on the xFIP. So already two runs in for the Bo Sox with still a man on second and just one out. So looking for more here to try to drive Mr. Taillon out of the game early.
Yeah, Franchi Cordero now at the dish, who has had a, let's just say it's been a struggle for Mr. Cordero so far this year.
He's about the only guy in that lineup that's not hitting.
Yeah, no, and again, look, I was very wrong about Boston pre-series, a season, I should say, Wes. I thought their pitching was going to be so bad that even with the star-studded lineup they have. And look, there was no doubt that Rafael Devers and J.D. Martinez and Xander Bogaerts were going to hit, and they all were in Denver last week for the All-Star game. But it's been the auxiliary pieces for the Red Sox that have pushed that team from, all right, they're going to score a ton of runs but probably not be able to pitch very well. The auxiliary pieces in the lineup, and of course, the starting rotation has pitched well above its head so far.
Yeah, it certainly has. Really, not a weak spot. Nady Eovaldi, I think, has been terrific. Of course, he is on the mound today, 9-5. Nick Pivetta, 8-4. Erod at 7-5. Although the ERA 5.23 has been a positive regression candidate for a while because his xFIP's about 2 runs better. Even Martin Perez, 7-6 on the season. Garrett Richards, 6-5. So look, these starters, despite the fact that Chris Sale has not come back yet, have absolutely held up right now for Boston, and easily going to go over because that was one I was debating on the season win total, and I ended up passing on it because I thought, you know, they're going to be above a 500 team. I don't think they're going to be a contender, but they're certainly proven to be.
Wes, let's go to the later games in Major League Baseball. A lot of these games will start as soon as BetCenter with Ben Wilson and Josh Towers take over here on a network at 6 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll start in Philadelphia, an important series for both of these teams, who both Atlanta and Philadelphia are trying to catch the Mets. The Mets actually have played pretty reasonably since Taijuan Walker flipped what was very close to being a foul ball into 3 runs. Since then, the Mets have played better and have actually extended their lead on both of these teams. The Phillies tonight will throw Vince Velasquez, who has been pretty darn inconsistent so far this year, against Drew Smyly. For Atlanta, +110 on the Braves, -130 on Philly on over at BetMGM. Total 10.5. Wes, I know it's a high total, but you're in that ballpark with Velasquez, who's been very inconsistent, and Smyly, who, to me, when Smyly is bad, there are not many worse pitchers and starting rotations anywhere in baseball that are worse than what Drew Smyly does when he is bad. And if he's bad tonight, that is probably a big-time over game in Philadelphia.
Well, and you talk about the inconsistency, especially with Vinny V, who, look, we know kind of the problems with Vince Velasquez is he walks too many guys.
Correct.
And when the walks get up, that's where you can get some big numbers. So that's what concerns me a little bit on taking the Philadelphia side, even though they're certainly getting the money in for all the reasons you mentioned in terms of the fate of Drew Smyly. Philadelphia was a team that I bet a couple weeks ago before the DeGrom injury, and we don't know the latest on that. Philadelphia was the team that I thought could maybe be a comer for the Mets in the NL East, and I went ahead and bet them at 6-1. They are consistently inconsistent, much like Vince Velasquez is on the mound. I do think the bats are going to heat up. Look, the top of the rotation, very good, obviously. If Zach Wheeler, unfortunately, they don't decide these on metrics. If Zach Wheeler had a couple more wins, that's why that stat is so overvalued, you might be getting him for at least some Cy Young consideration. DeGrom's still the rightful favorite, of course, assuming his health gets better and better quickly, but the top end of that Philly pitching staff, I think, in terms of Wheeler, Aaron Nola, and he's even been down this year and still been pretty solid, above average. But the back end of this rotation, like Vinny B, have to get better. So going to leave this one alone. If anything, though, I would take Atlanta. I think this price has gotten a little big, about a 15 to 20 cent rise from the opener.
Yeah, and look, I would, again, I'd only look at the total. I don't trust either of these starting pitchers to bet either way. And look, the Phillies lineup, at least J.T. Realmuto is scorching hot right now out of the All-Star break. And to me, even though obviously Harper gets all the attention there, J.T. Realmuto is their most important and best play.
Yes.
And if he's going to be hot, Philadelphia at least has a shot. Now I'm not so certain that the Phillies are going to be able to catch the Mets, even with all the injury issues that the Mets have, because that bullpen is still a joke in Philadelphia, Wes.
Yeah, they need to make a move. By the way, the deadline, I believe July 30th is the deadline.
Six days away.
Coming up this week, so next Friday. So I would expect that Philadelphia is going to try to make at least some kind of move to go ahead and get some bullpen help because they absolutely need it across the board.
Let's look at another game that starts at 6 o'clock Eastern time. We'll go to Miami. The Marlins, Wes, maybe heading towards being one of those teams that's just going to sell and then tank on out the rest of the season. A brutal start after the All-Star break for them. The Padres are going to send Ryan Weathers to the mound. Ross Detweiler, the expected starter for Miami. Padres up to minus 160 right now Even money on the run line, Marlins plus 140, total of 9 here, Wes. Look, the Padres at this point, they have to take advantage of every weak team on their schedule, because even though they're going to be a playoff team, Wes, there is a huge old difference, obviously, between being team 3 and even team 2 in that NL West.
Yeah, and I think it's Braxton Garrett tonight.
Okay, so that was a late change. So it looks like Detweiler will be coming in after Garrett.
Yeah,
yes.
So it'll be a bullpen game. But where I'd be looking here in terms of this game, I would be looking at the over. Ryan Weathers is not a guy that really goes deep into games. That's a guy that they use their bullpen a little bit. And my concern for the Padres long term is I think maybe Jace Tingler, you know, when you use that bullpen, that adds up early in the season. You don't worry about it in April and May, but around August and September, these guys start to have a little wear and tear. So seeing the over get bet here, still some 8.5 juice, the over at minus 120. I think it's minus 125 at BetMGM, also some 9s out there. I think the over money is well placed.
When we get back, Wes, we'll look at some 7 o'clock Eastern games of Major League Baseball, and also your guy Bo Hoag with a big par save on 13 to keep his lead in the Twin Cities. We're back with more next here on the Green Zone on VSiN. More on the final score with One Game Parlay at BetMGM. The One Game Parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into BetMGM or sign up now to try the One Game Parlay. If you're signing up for an account, make sure you use the bonus code VSIN600, and your first bet will be risk-free up to $600. It's a new customer only, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older to place a wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. In Tennessee, call or text Redline, 1-800-889-9789. And promotional offer not available in Nevada. It is the Green Zone here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles. He's Wes Reynolds. And Wes, a little bit of an update here.
Yeah, if you're all watching this 3M Open and wondering what happened to Ricky Fowler, he was once tied for the lead. He took an 8 on the 18th hole, and he finishes 6 under par, just 1 under on his round. So now, from the lead to T31, so golf happened to Ricky Fowler, just have not been able to avoid those mistakes. Has been showing a little bit of life, but thought he might be in the mix here, but now he has tumbled down the leaderboard. Bo Hoag, by the way, still your one-shot leader over a host of players at 11 under, that being Jimmy Walker, Gary Woodland, Cam Tringale, and Maverick McNealy.
I'll ask you this right now, Wes. As you're looking at the live board, Tringale is your betting favorite at BetMGM, still at 4-1. Hoag, who leads at plus 450, Mab McNealy at plus 550, and then Woodland at plus 750, everyone else 10-1 or longer. Is there anyone on the board that you look at those live numbers and think it may be worth a shot here?
Well, and it's not too far down the board, but a guy that's been playing some decent golf very quietly this year is Charles Schwartzel at 16-1. He was in the mix in Dallas, didn't get it done, but Charles Schwartzel at 16-1, I think he's kind of over that wrist injury that he had last year. Of course, remember, this guy was a former top 20 player in the world, Masters champion, when nobody had ever heard of him. And it's like, this dude's a top 20 player in the world. Maybe you should hear from him. But he's had some injuries, hasn't won in a few years. So Charles Schwartzel at 16-1, maybe Ches Reavie, because almost out of my own fear, because, you know, when I put this outright card together and I do maybe 6-7 guys in a full field tournament on a given week, and usually there's 1 to 2 to 3 that I leave off that were very close. Ches Reavie was one of those guys. So that's just out of my own fear. It's like, I'm not on him, so he's going to win. So he is out there at 20-1 and just a couple back of the lead.
Bo Koger leader. Everyone on the back nine right now in the Twin Cities, just outside of Minneapolis and Blaine, Minnesota. Oh, look at this, Wes Reynolds. The Arizona Diamondbacks trying to not join the ranks of the 1997 Phillies as only the second team in the last 55 years in the NL to start the season 30-70. A three-run seventh. They have a 5-2 lead on the Cubs right now.
They do. A double by Cabrera scores Ahmed and Varsho here in the top of the seventh. So now 5-2. That is caught in the
nice
ivy.
Play.
What an absolute catch by Smith. Jason Hayward, or who was that? I believe that was Hayward that about took him deep. So a nice catch in the ivy. Good defense for the D-backs. 5-2 here. Bottom of the seventh. One out.
5-2, as we said. And again, what a play by Pavin Smith out in dead center.
Yeah.
To rob Jason Hayward of what would have been at least two, maybe even three bases.
Yeah, went right into the ivy. So Jason Hayward out now. Nico Horner up to bat. But one out here, bottom in seventh, 5-2, snakes.
Let's, Wes, one other update in Major League Baseball as we continue on here before looking at the late games in MLB. The Yankees and the Red Sox. Red Sox score a run in the first, score a run in the second, leading 2-0 as they go to the bottom of the third inning. Sox minus 330 at home at Fenway.
Yeah, Yankees had a little bingo going here to start the third. First two men reach, double play by LeMahieu, and then Brett Gardner strikes out. So nothing doing there for the Yanks. Now going bottom of third, 2-0, both Sox.
Let's go to the late games in Major League Baseball here tonight. The most intriguing one, again, a big series in Milwaukee, and we got an awesome pitching matchup last night where Freddie Peralta only went four innings, and the Brewers' offense exploded late in a 7-1 win against the White Sox, a six-run seventh, ending up being the difference there at AmFam Park in Milwaukee. Tonight, pitching matchup is even better than the Giolito-Peralta matchup of last night. Carlos Rodon, a top three favorite in AL Cy Young markets, against Corbin Burns, who, didn't pitch well in the All-Star game, but has been fabulous this year for Milwaukee. Over the consensus odds at VSiN.com, the White Sox, the road dog tonight, a plus 110, Brewers minus 130, and a low total of 7, Wes.
I think a lot of people have been waiting to see if Carlos Rodon and Lance Lynn, let's mention him too, are going to regress at some point, and they really have not. They are very much, I think, Cy Young contenders in the American League. So, what I'd be looking at here, I didn't really have a side, but I would be looking at the under, even though it is 7 here. Maybe a small lean to Corbin Burns, but if you look, Carlos Rodon, best season of his career, 2.26 xERA, 2.92 on the xFIP, 13 strikeouts per 9 innings. The walk rate and the home run rate has also been reduced from years past, and really because the velocity on that fastball is up for Carlos Rodon. And then you look on the other side of Corbin Burns, second best xERA in baseball at 1.78. Strikeout rate just slightly better than Carlos Rodon at 13.13. Walk rate about 1.5 walks per 9 innings. And the home run rate astonishingly low at 0.28 home runs per 9 innings. So this control has been absolutely insane for Corbin Burns. I think he's got a good matchup from a pitching standpoint here because he's going to go to his cutter a little bit more. Chicago kind of has a little bit of trouble at that pitch. And then the off-speed pitches have only allowed 11 hits this season for Corbin Burns. So he gets dudes out not only on his cutter, but also on his slider, but also on his curveball. So I'm going to look to the under 7 in this spot.
By the way, Wes, we have a repost of the line in the Beltway game with Max Scherzer getting scratched. John Lester replacing him, and the Nats are only minus 135. So almost a 90-cent move.
Yes.
Because of the change in pitcher.
Well, and I do look at Lester's numbers, and I kind of do understand that. He has not had great numbers. I know everybody, because it becomes a thing, it becomes like a meme almost on Twitter where it's like, okay, Matt Harvey Day, because he's 4-10 and has a 7.13 ERA, had a nice shutout start in Kansas City a couple weeks ago. So, you know, that's why I'm at least a little bit careful of doing that just total fade of a guy, because he can get against the right lineup and maybe turn it around. You look at John Lester's numbers, 4.99 ERA, 5.13 on the xFIP. Lester only striking out about 6.27 per nine innings, and the walks are still pretty high. And they usually kind of are with John Lester at about 3.5 walks per nine innings. So that's always the concern. You allow free base runners. And, of course, we know John Lester, pretty easy pitcher to run on.
Yes, well, has always been. The yips on the pickoff throws through the years. Nats, by the way, the total's up to 10.5. Not really a shock there with the change in pitchers. Again, it's Matt Harvey on the other end. Mm-hmm. So it could be a lot of runs in already a great hitter's ballpark in Baltimore at Camden Yards. Mets and Blue Jays will go to Citi Field here, Wes. Good pitching matchup. Again, Hyun-Jin Ryu will go for the Jays. Taijuan Walker, who the last time we saw him only got one out in Pittsburgh in that disastrous first inning last Sunday. The Jays are a slight favorite, -115 on the road. Mets won this matchup yesterday, 3-0. Tyler McGill pitched great. Pete Alonso hit a pair of homers. Total 8.5 here. Jays, as I said, a slight road favorite.
Yeah, and when you're looking at some of the numbers, I wonder if there's still some regression, at least a little bit, left in Taijuan Walker. 2.99 ERA, but a 4.08 on the xFIP. Batting average balls in play, which can measure luck. League average about 3 for a pitcher. He is at 2.61. So maybe another start where you are going to get some regression from Taijuan Walker. The concern a little bit, though, is obviously the Mets bullpen, even though Diaz has had a struggle, still better than the Toronto bullpen. So not sure if I really want to lay this in terms of like a full game, but maybe be looking at Toronto first five, and I see like $1.30 out there at BetMGM, maybe some $1.28s out there as well. So obviously we recommend shop around, but if I'm going to bet Toronto here, I'm looking first five.
I would look first five as well. Again, Ryu has been good, hasn't been great, but he's been good this year. And again, the Jays trying to stay in the mix in the American League East. Had two really bad games against Boston this week in the finales in Buffalo before they head back home, finally north of the border to Toronto at the Rogers Center. But again, Wes, this is a team that's really we've gotten a feel from this all year. They're a team that screams, all right, 2021 is the year that they take that quantum leap forward.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're a year early on the Toronto Blue Jays. I know some people were kind of looking at them as possible futures down the board, maybe a team that can catch Boston or Tampa in the AL East. I don't anticipate that is going to happen. Let's see if they can get into one park per season, please. Maybe before we think the Toronto Blue Jays are going to make this leap, because, look, they've been very solid this year. Keep in mind, they're about to be on their third home ballpark of the season.
Yes.
They were in Dunedin, Florida. Then they were in Buffalo, I believe, at the end of the month. I forgot the date. I think it's the 30th or the 31st. They're going to be back in
30th.
Toronto.
Yep. Yes. The next Friday against the Royals will be the first game back. And also, too, Wes, the last time that Toronto had a home game in Toronto in 2019, the opponent, the Kansas City Royals.
Yep.
So going full circle there.
The way the Royals are playing, that's a welcome sight for Blue Jays fans.
The Royals did snap Detroit's long winning streak last night, though.
And you just kind of had a feeling because all of a sudden, when a streak gets mentioned, it's like, well, the Tigers have won 7 in a row, insta-fade. Insta-fade, because then everybody's going to get on them. And then, of course, Kansas City now, 15 under 500, did snap the third streak.
Yeah, it's been a wayward year for the Royals after a really good start early. When we get back, JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst here at the network, going to join us next. We're going to look at 2022 futures. We'll also look at the Olympic Games for men's basketball with our guy JVT. Next on the Green Zone on VSiN.